You are listening to the sound of a carpet. Welcome to the weird world of the voice for Android.
VICT Consultancy.
Hello everyone, this is Paul Warner, and welcome to what promises to be a fairly off-the-wall podcast about an app specifically designed for blind people called The Voice for Android. If you have used a screen reader before to read about this app, you might have noticed that the name of the app is pronounced quite strangely. That's because the word voice is in capitals, except for the letters V and E. As the developer's website puts it, it should really be pronounced the V-O-I-C-E for Android, presumably having something to do with the fact that it can take some time for the purpose of the app to sink in. For the purposes of this podcast, though, I'll be calling it The Voice, since saying the V-O-I-C-E all the time is just too silly. The app's developer is a gentleman called Peter Meyer, and I hope I'm pronouncing his surname correctly. It's spelled M-E-I-J-E-R, and the website that you can go to find out about this is called seeingwithsound.com. And you can download the app itself, free, from the Google Play Store in the normal way. If you're a curious type, you might well have come across this app before, downloaded and installed it, and got something like the noises we heard at the start of the podcast. Usually a first reaction is along the lines of, what the? And after playing with it for a while and reading a bit about it, the reactions move on to, The fact is that the principle behind representing vision as sound is so strange that no amount of reading about it will help. You have to patiently try it out for yourself, and hopefully this podcast will give you a head start. And then maybe at some point you too will have an oh I see experience. According to the website, this technology has been around for over 10 years or so, but it's the prevalence of portable devices such as smartphones which has opened the door to it perhaps being quite useful. The developers recommend using this app with USB glasses or Bluetooth glasses with a camera built in so that the camera sees what you would see if your eyes worked. But I dare say that not too many of us possess glasses like that. But perhaps in the future, when Google Glasses becomes more affordable, then that actually might become a reality and not too far-fetched. But in the meantime, you can use the voice straight from your phone or GPS-enabled tablet. But you must hold it in landscape mode, unless you want to lie on your side, of course. In this podcast, I will be concentrating on the main feature of the voice, that is the representation of vision as sound. But I will also briefly cover the other separate features which have been added to this app, like the compass and GPS.
Seeing with sound.
Right, here we go. This is the sound of my dark blue carpet again. By the way, you ought to be using headphones when you use the voice, and you should really be listening to this podcast with headphones on. The repeating sound you are listening to starts from the left and then moves across the stereo to the right. So make sure that you have your headphones on the right way, otherwise you'll get quite confused. What is happening here is that the voice repeatedly takes a picture, a still image, analyzes it to look for contrast and color and brightness, and it then produces tones at different pitches and volumes to indicate where these points of contrast are. The brighter an object is, the louder the tones will be. If the object is towards the top of the image, the pitch will be higher, and if it's at the bottom of the image, there will be a lower tone that's produced. Also, an object positioned towards the left side of the image will produce a sound on the left side of the stereo spectrum, and so on across towards the right. So what we're not getting is a continuous real-time representation in sound of what's happening in the visual world here, but rather a series of snapshots, because the voice just does not cope with moving objects. When I refer to an image here, I'm simply talking about a photograph, really, of whatever the camera happens to be pointing at, remembering that the phone camera can be at any angle at all. So for the purposes of looking at my carpet, I'm holding my phone in landscape mode with the screen facing directly up and the camera facing directly down towards the floor. If I took a photograph in this position, the top of the image would not be above me, as if I were looking straight ahead, but rather it's still a position on the floor but a bit further away from me. Now, it's important to grasp this point about visual perspective when using the voice or anything with a camera, really, particularly if you've never had any vision before. Right, enough theory, and let's put this into practice. What you're listening to is a dark blue carpet which has no pattern or other visual features, and you can therefore expect that the sound representation of that will also be consistent and lacking in features. So when you're trying this app out yourself, it's best to start off with a plain surface, like a plain carpet, a desktop, or a large piece of plain card, for example. Then you can introduce visual features one by one and notice how each of them affects the sound. The app developers call this repeating burst of sound a soundscape. It comes in three speeds, normal, half speed, and double speed, and it's playing at normal speed at the moment. The volume of the sound produced is influenced by the brightness of the image. This is a relatively dark carpet, so the tones produced are somewhat soft. So that begs the question, will the sound get much louder if we point the camera directly at a light source? Okay, I'm going to point the camera at my room lights, which are currently switched on. Now that's quite a difference. At the moment, the camera is pointing directly towards the lights, but then if I move the phone so that the camera is pointing directly at a wall, you'll notice that the sound of the lights, or the loud sounds, are now high-pitched, and that's because the lights, of course, are now at the top of the image. Now let's turn these lights off and point the camera directly at the lights again. Notice that the sound is now quite different. Now we have ourselves a light detector app. You will be able to tell if the lights or a lamp are on in a room or where the window is in a room. What about other things that produce light? I'm going to hold the phone quite close to my computer monitor here. What kind of sound are we listening to here? Is it loud or relatively soft? Is it consistent or are there differences in the tones? It sounds relatively consistent and soft to me, so I'm guessing that the monitor is actually switched off at the moment. Let's press the power button. Now that's quite a difference again, isn't it? Suddenly the tones are louder, and there are differences in the sounds as well, presumably reflecting the different text and graphics on the screen. So in its most basic form, the voice for Android can be used as a light detector. I have turned my room lights back on again, and the camera is again pointing down towards the floor. Hang on, there's something different here. A short noise somewhere in the centre of the sound spectrum. Can you hear it? That's actually a piece of white card lying on the floor, about the size of a business card. And since it is small, it's only producing a short tone. In visual terms, the card is just a small shape lying on the floor. So as the soundscape starts from the left, we hear a relatively consistent noise because there are no visual features here, it's just carpet. But when the soundscape reaches the centre and discovers the card, since it is providing contrast to the background, we get the noise. The soundscape then continues towards the right and goes back to producing the consistent sound again, because it's just carpet. Now, I have positioned the card on the floor so that it is in the centre of the visual image. And in addition to the sound appearing roughly in the centre of the stereo spectrum, it's also got a middle pitch, at least within the range of tones produced by the voice. So if I place the card further away from me, so that it is in fact higher up, the visual image as it were, we should get a higher pitched beep, right? Yes, you can hear that that's what we get. Now I'm going to place the card over here and we'll listen to what sound we get. Now can you tell where the card is based on the position of the sound? Well, the beep is appearing on the left hand side of the stereo image and the pitch is quite low. So that suggests that the card is actually close to me on my left side, and so it is. I have moved the card again. So where is it now? First, where in the stereo image is it? Secondly, is the tone high or low pitched? The top marks if you've identified that the sound is high pitched and on the right hand side and is therefore farther away from me on my right side. Listen to this. How many cards do I have on the floor now? When you have a more varied visual image like this, then the resulting soundscape will be more detailed too. And that's when it's handy to slow the soundscape down to half speed. I will discuss how changes are made like this in the app later on. Now at this speed, you can clearly hear three separate beeps, indicating that there are three cards lying on the floor. But listen to the pitches, the different pitches of these sounds. One is definitely higher than the other two, indicating that that one is further away from me, but that the other two are relatively close to each other and therefore side by side. What all of this tells us is that a small object, or at least one which is not wide, you know, from left to right, will produce a short tone, like a beep. Now let's try another object with an entirely different shape, a white cane, for example. I've removed the cards from the floor and I've put the cane down with the tip at my feet and with the cane pointing straight ahead towards the 12 o'clock position. So the cane will be seen by the camera as a long, thin shape lying straight in the middle of the picture. What will that sound like? Now remember that only the carpet will be detected until the soundscape gets to the middle where the cane is. We should therefore get a burst of noise at that point, and then after that we should hear the carpet again, featureless sound. So let's listen to that. There you are, that's what we're getting. The problem is, though, that we're not really getting an idea about the height of the cane in the centre of the image, since a range of tones are all being played at once in one short burst. But that's a limitation of this technology. Unless you've got super hearing and can pick out all the different frequencies and a brain to process all that information as well. Listen to what happens though when I place the cane at 90 degrees so that it is lying horizontally across the floor from left to right. Now we're getting somewhere. What we're hearing is a continuous tone stretching right along the length of the cane from left to right. And this tells us how much of the visual image is actually being taken up by the cane. But if I push the cane further away from me, but still lying left to right, should we get a high-pitched continuous tone? Yep, that's what we get. Right, listener participation time again. Listen to this soundscape and try and guess how the cane is lying on the floor. Now, on the left, we're getting a low tone. It begins with a low tone, indicating that there's something there close to me on my left. And then the tone rises up to the right. So the cane is actually lying diagonally, with the left side closer to me than the right side. Switching it round so that the left side of the cane is further away from me and the right side is close to me produces a descending tone, like this. What do you think this sound is? That's the sound of two white canes. Now they're lying parallel, both horizontal, somewhere in the middle of the visual image. So what we're hearing are two separate tones at different pitches. Now you might not have noticed that at first, but once you've heard this kind of thing and know what to listen for in the future, it does actually get easier to spot that there are two or more objects at the same horizontal position in the visual image. Next, we'll be a little more adventurous, but back to a single cane again. If I collapse the cane in the middle so that I make a V shape and put the V, the point of the V, at my feet, what we hear is some carpet noise, as usual, on the left-hand side. Then the soundscape gets to the left tip of the V, descends down towards the middle point of the V, which is at my feet, and then ascends up towards the right tip of the V, of the end of the cane. And then we get the sound of the carpet as it continues towards the right. If you had an object which looks like an upside-down V, then the pitch of the tones would be reversed. It would ascend and then descend. If you've been following all of this so far, it might occur to you that the voice could actually be very, very useful in looking at things on the floor, such as things which have been dropped. You know, where is something in the room? Before you start getting down on your hands and knees and looking for something, you could take a glance, really, over the room by using the voice. You could also detect if there are patterns on clothes, for example, or whether there's a nasty stain on a worktop. Now, you can even use the voice outside, and it could possibly tell you that there's obstacles in the way, or you can certainly use it to see if a light is on a building, for example. But whether you find this type of thing useful is entirely down to you and your imagination, and your perseverance, of course, in trying to interpret what these sounds actually mean. Now, one great use that I've found for the soundscape is to identify the amount of charge that's in the battery charger. It's a portable battery charger that I use to charge up my mobile phone. Unfortunately, the way you do this normally is to hold down a button and see how many little lights come on, which is useless if you can't see. However, if I use the voice, this is what I get. Now I hear four distinct beeps here, indicating that the charger itself is fully charged, because I know that there are four little lights here that come on when the thing is fully charged up. Now these little lights are actually very close together on this unit, and I've had to use the zoom feature in the voice in order to hear the separation between the different beeps. And I'll again tell you how to do that later on in this podcast. So let's recap here. The soundscape produces tones to represent the brightness of an object and its position within the visual image. Now that's fine if you're looking for a bright object against a dark background, but it isn't if you're looking for text or line drawings or normal pictures, really, which tend to be darker against a brighter background. How do you deal with that if the soundscape is just going to be producing a loud burst of noise when it sees the bright background? The answer is negative video. Engaging the negative video feature of the voice makes the bright elements dark and the dark elements bright, and effectively reverses the scale of brightness. What that means is that the soundscapes will now produce louder tones when it encounters something which is dark. In fact, drawing lines and shapes on paper yourself is a great way of finding out how these shapes are then reproduced in sound. But remember, if you are using white paper or light grey paper with a dark pen or pencil, you will have to engage the negative video feature. Well, have you had an "oh, I see" moment yet? Okay, in the next part of this podcast, I'm going to talk about how you interact with this app.
The interface.
When you first turn on the app, you get the noises produced by the soundscape. This repeated process of image capture and sound generation will continue until you turn it off. And there are two main ways you can do that. You can either mute the audio, although the camera will keep taking pictures and using up the battery. But to mute the audio, all you have to do is to tap the screen once, and you unmute with another single tap. But you have to be careful where you tap on the screen, because there are five active areas on the screen which do different things depending on where you tap. Again, bearing in mind that the phone is in landscape mode, if you tap at the top middle of the screen, then you activate the autofocus function, which can be useful if you want to pick up some fine detail, or even if you want to apply autofocus when taking an ordinary photograph, which you can do from within the voice. Tapping on the bottom left turns on speech recognition, but this is limited to fairly simple commands which the voice uses. For example, you can say reset, and it will reset all the settings to defaults. The left and right edges of the screen give you access to other apps that you might have. The left edge is dedicated to a barcode scanner, and the right edge brings up Google Goggles if that's installed. Tapping in the bottom right area brings up an on-screen keyboard, and this can be your preferred keyboard. It can be configured in the voice. For example, I have the Eyes Free keyboard. Now, although I have configured my phone never to show the keyboard in landscape mode if the phone is tilted that way, the landscape only requirement of the voice still puts your keyboard into landscape mode, so you'll need to bear that in mind. But before I bring up the keyboard, I'll need to mention the other way that you can turn off the soundscapes, and that's by deactivating the camera itself. And you do that by double tapping in the centre of the screen. And of course, not only does that turn off the camera, it also stops the soundscapes as well. And you might actually want to do that if you only want to use the compass or the GPS functions discussed later. Okay, I'm going to bring up the Eyes Free keyboard in the usual way, actually, by pressing the volume buttons. Earlier, I set the soundscape to play at half speed. You do that by pressing the right arrow, or the right button on the D-pad. You can then speed up by pressing the left arrow or left button. And the volume of the sound can be affected by pressing the up and down buttons. I used the zoom feature earlier on, and you do that by pressing the letter Z on the keyboard. And for American listeners, that's the letter Z, not Z, it's Z. I'd also activated negative video earlier, and you do this by pressing Alt with W. Of course, there's a complete list of these keyboard commands on the developer's website, and you should consult that. But how about this? Pressing T does this.
T. The time is 10:17 a.m.
And pressing D gives
D. Today is Wednesday, February 6th, 2013.
Pressing L gives
L. Battery level is 20%.
Which you really do need to check regularly when you've got the voice running, because it ravenously munches the battery. Pressing the menu button on your phone brings up the voices menu, and we'll go through the various options here.
Options. Mute. Tactile graphics. Say color names. Color filter. Negative video. Zoom by 2. Foveal view. Contrast. Audio volume. Audio sample rate. Audio channels. Talking compass. Talking locator. Shape action. Snapshot resolution. Language. Speech rate. Camera. Other settings. About. Reset. Exit.
Now, these options in the main replicate some of the functions which you can activate or deactivate using the on-screen keyboard, but there's other stuff in here as well. Okay, now we know how to interact with this app, let's move on to colour detection.
Colour detection.
You're probably aware that there are various hardware colour detectors on the market at the moment. I was told last year about one costing over £100, which apparently is extremely sophisticated, and if you need that kind of sophistication and detail in colour detection, then you can forget about the colour detection feature on the voice. But that doesn't mean to say that it isn't useful. It can actually be very useful indeed. The accuracy of any colour detector is affected by the ambient lighting conditions. They tend to work better in daylight, so for example if you're outside or close to a window, but they can work effectively indoors under electric light if you follow some simple guidelines. In order to identify a colour accurately though, the detector needs to have something to compare it with, and we use pure white for that purpose. So for the purposes of calibration, you get, say, a large piece of white paper or something else which is white and lacking in visual features. Point the phone's camera at this thing which is white, making sure that nothing else is in the visual image. It's best to hold the camera quite close, and then press the letter W on your phone's keyboard. Now, the ambient light of the room will alter the white appearance, the whiteness as it were, of the image, but at least you're telling the detector that if that's white, it will have a better chance of detecting what's red or green or blue or whatever in the same lighting conditions. If the ambient light in the room isn't bright enough, or you're in the dark, you can use the phone's torchlight, and you can set that up in the settings in the voice. But if you're going to be using the torchlight for that purpose, it's advisable to hold the camera of your phone right up against the object that you want to colour detect. Right, we've calibrated the detector, and now we want to detect. What colours does the voice detect? There's a simple range, actually. There's red, green, blue, orange, yellow, cyan, which is a colour kind of between green and blue, and magenta, which is basically purple, in addition to white, black and grey. It will report some other colours by using a combination of these, for example, red-orange. And it will also tell you if a shade of colour is dark or light. And the developer's website actually suggests that dark orange is usually brown. I would have preferred an announcement of brown myself. Okay, exhibit A, one of my socks. Its colour is
black,
which is right.
Black.
And let's see what it makes of my jeans.
Dark greyish cyan. Dark blue. Dark greyish blue magenta.
Well, they are actually dark blue. And now I'm holding a fabric table mat, which I am told is red.
Dark red. Dark vivid red. Dark vivid red.
Get that, vivid red. Now bear in mind that the colour detection feature detects the colour in the middle of the image, so that the colours around the edges of the image, as it were, are ignored. Now that's all very well for simple tasks where there's really only one colour present, but what about more detailed patterns and stripes and things like that? This is where the voice gets quite sophisticated by using colour filters. The idea of a colour filter is that you get a soundscape, like the ones we heard earlier in this podcast, but producing tones only if the desired colour is present. And you can type the initial letter of the required colour on the keyboard, R for red, Y for yellow, etc. But before doing that, you can step automatically through the detectable colours by engaging the automatic analyzer mode by pressing the letter A.
Analyze. Red. Orange.
Here, the voice is yellow. Cycling through each detectable colour and is producing tones green. Which show you the position of that colour in the visual image.
Blue.
The Seeing with Sound website suggests that you can use this facility
magenta.
To track electrical wires which are a different
red.
Colour, for example. You could also use this to detect colours and stripes on clothes. Remember the lights on my battery charger? Well, now, I didn't use a colour filter for that. It was simply making a noise because there were lights there against a dark background. But with the colour filter feature in the voice, you will be able to tell the colour of a single light if that light changes colour. Now, I have a Wi-Fi router which has different colours in a light to indicate its status, and the voice is ideal for detecting that. Given that the voice as an app is free, it's amazing to think that we're getting this level of colour detection completely free as well. In addition to the basic colours I mentioned earlier, and the reporting of a combination of colours, there is also what is called skin detection, which is supposed to identify exposed skin. But what colour is skin? Is it the blue-white of the typical Scot in the middle of winter, like me? Or is it the sexy tan of a Latino, or is it the dark brown of an African? Well, according to Peter Meyer, the skin detection feature should detect nearly the whole range of human skin tones, which is amazing when you think about it. Anyway, the skin detection feature works like one of the colours using a colour filter, so it has its own soundscape, which tells you where the exposed skin is. No, better not. It does work. And get this, the website suggests that the skin detection facility could be useful for detecting, for example, if a seat is occupied. I mean, really? I mean, are they mad? I'm sure there are other more convenient ways of finding out that information. There's another recognition feature which isn't actually colour detection, but it's face recognition. Now, this is not face identification, which we read about and hear about. It just detects the presence of a face, within the visual image. Could be useful if you're going to be taking a picture of someone else. If there's only one face which is detected, then the voice announces the position of the face within the visual image. It's at the top or the bottom, whatever. And if there's more than one, it will tell you how many faces it has recognised. The problem is that the face detection feature is incredibly processor hungry, and it can take several seconds before the recognition is completed. So you might have to super glue your child in position while you're waiting for the face recognition to complete. Also, the face recognition feature is a real drain on the battery, and if you aren't going to use it, then you should untick the box in the settings menu. So that about covers how the voice represents visual images as sounds. But wait, there's more.
Tactile graphics.
Have you ever used an opticon? For those who don't know what an opticon is or was, it was a portable device with a little camera that you could pass over text or graphics while your finger was kept on a small display which would vibrate in the shape of whatever the camera was passing over. The tactile graphics feature in the voice is a bit similar, but the main difference here is that you move your finger and the vibrations are over the whole of the phone, not just the area that your finger is passing over. This is called the Braille feature in the voice, although Braille has nothing to do with it. For example, if you recall the white cane lying on the carpet, in Braille mode, you would pass your finger from left to right and you would feel relatively nothing as your finger went over the carpet, as it were, and then the phone would start to vibrate when it encounters the contrast, the line of the cane. But in most situations, you'll be looking at drawings or pictures which are dark lines or dark shapes on a white background. And so in order to be able to feel them instead of the background, you engage negative video. The interesting thing is you can also apply the colour filters so that you only get to touch the colours that are there in the picture. The developer's website suggests that you could even use tactile graphics to look at the layout of doors and windows. But I imagine that that would be more useful if you had the glasses I was talking about earlier, because it would be really fiddly if you're holding a phone camera in position in order to look at a wall and then also feel the screen to find out where the windows and the detail is. There are, of course, limitations to this technology, which after all is described as experimental on the developer's website. But to some extent, this Braille feature, this tactile graphics mode, can be regarded as a refreshable tactile display for graphics. And now for something completely different.
Talking compass.
Now we can switch off the camera activity and get entirely away from the visuals. Remember, you can do that by double-tapping in the centre of the screen. Now, the main purpose in life of the voice is its ability to reproduce vision as sound. So why have a talking compass? Well, why not? You can set up the verbosity of the compass in the settings, like this.
Talking compass. Click talk talking compass. Zero items. Radio button silent. No speech. Checked. Radio button only heading changes. Radio button continuous heading. Radio button continuous heading in degrees. Clicked radio button continuous heading in degrees. Button defaults. Button continue. Clicked button continue.
Right, I've set it to maximum verbosity so that I get the compass direction as well as degrees. And that should give a very detailed level of accuracy. You know that if you turn round in a complete circle, you're turning 360 degrees. If you take due north, straight up as it were, to be 0 degrees, then a half turn to due south is pointing at 180 degrees. Pointing due east is pointing to 90 degrees, and due west is 270 degrees. But the voice will tell you where you're pointing at all individual degrees in between. So how could that be useful? Well, has someone ever given you directions along the lines of, well, when you come out of the railway exit, you'll need to go left, kind of diagonally, and you should end up at the lane. But there are three lanes, so hopefully you'll get the right one. But how about this? Using the voice, you could emerge from the same exit, and knowing that the lane you want is roughly at west-northwest, or 283 degrees to be precise, this is what you do.
Southwest, 229. Southwest, 225. Southwest, 246. West, 283.
And you start walking. In a straight line, of course. But if you do deviate from a straight line, the compass will tell you. Now, there are other talking compass apps out there, but with the voice you have the addition of turning the camera back on and getting some more detail using the soundscapes. I think this level of compass detail with degrees would be ideal for off-road use. For example, you are in a field or going through a big car park, or even in normal streets in a blizzard, you can easily become disorientated and point yourself in the wrong direction. But the talking compass, using these degrees here, will keep you in the right direction. And finally,
GPS functions.
There are, of course, numerous accessible GPS apps out there which do different things. For example, there's walkie-talkie if you want turn-by-turn directions and street addresses. There's MyPOI if you want to record a point of interest. There's Intersection Explorer if you want to explore maps. And apps like Sendero Lookaround and Around Me if you want to explore what's around you. So what does the talking locator feature of the voice do? Two things mainly. One is that you can press the spacebar on your keyboard and it will report in a fair amount of detail exactly where you are. Now this is down to postcode as well as address. And secondly, you can get it to report intersections as you approach them. It will say at the intersection of street X and street Y. And you get a similar notification when you leave the zone of that intersection, as it were, and then it just tells you what street you happen to be in. There are other functions as well, such as, in addition to looking around, you can look ahead, depending on the tilt of your phone, and that will tell you what streets you're likely to reach, depending on your speed. And you can get a report on your speed if you're in a vehicle, and also altitude. But I think that it is the reporting of intersections as you approach them which will be the most useful GPS function in the voice. But if you want to use other GPS apps in addition to the voice, you're going to have to load them first because the voice has to be in the foreground at all times. And that's really about it. The developer of the voice for Android, Peter Meyer, has really created this app as a labour of love, and we just can't thank him enough for his ingenuity and commitment. And add to that, he responds extremely quickly to feedback from users on the lists. Since I installed the voice on my phone several months ago, there have been quite a few updates already, and I really can't wait to future developments as well. And what I would love in particular is a feature whereby you can load a picture from your phone's gallery and then examine that using soundscapes or tactile graphics. So hopefully that'll be coming up in the future. The voice for Android is certainly an unusual app, at least as regards its ability to represent vision as sounds or as tactile graphics. But I hope that this podcast has gone some way into demystifying its functions, and I would recommend that you read more about it at the developer's website at www.seeingwithsound.com. If you would like to send me your comments on this podcast or just otherwise to get in touch, then please send an email to paul@vict-consultancy.co.uk, or you can visit my website at www.vict-consultancy.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
VICT Consultancy.